Let's start the program today then by welcoming our author of the month for September. And he's certainly no stranger to the program. He was one of my first ever star guests and even joined me for our virtual Christmas party. And I still haven't got over his infamous Christmas punch. But this time, Johnny Ball is joining us to talk about his recently published autobiography, My Previous Life in Comedy. It's a memoir of his time before he hit the television with Play School and later became the nation's favourite maths teacher. Johnny Ball, national treasure, I think. Welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I've just got out of my chest.
Now, tell me, Johnny, you've written a number of books in the past, but I guess this is the first one really looking at yourself.
It's the 10th one. People say, why are you writing your autobiography so late? And I said, well, I can't write it much later. and no, but this one, funnily enough, it's only half of the story, and it actually goes up about halfway to about 1980. And then next year, you've got another book coming out in March, and that's called Johnny Ball: Stories That Must Be Told, because I have so many stories that I've just got to tell, because you won't believe them. You won't believe them. And it's full of stories that just have to be told. And that's the second one. And that brings us up to the present day. And that will be the bit, And this one is what, 280 pages, something like that. So it's quite a work, but I've enjoyed writing it. The second one's written, of course, and I've enjoyed writing it tremendously. And remembering all the things that have happened. So instead of a narrative that goes on and on and on, it's all into individual stories. So every story has no reference, most times, to the one before or the one afterward. Just that story I need to tell in isolation.
Like a window into your life at a certain time.
Right. And every single story is a different window into the life.
Did you keep a diary, Johnny, that you were able to base it on, or is this very much what you can recall?
No, I've never kept a diary. No. Oh no. At time. No, it's just I have a very good memory. I've had that memory. I can't remember how long now, but that's a very good memory I've had. I always have,
I've spoken to people on the programme, authors that have written fiction, and they talk about planning and sitting down and working the story from beginning to end before they actually start to write it. How did you go about recalling and choosing what from your past life you wanted to include?
It's got to be the story. I was a comic, a stand-up comic, for 17 years, and that's part of the book. And in being a comic, it's no good having a story without a tag. The whole reason for the joke is a tag. The whole reason. So every paragraph, the whole reason for the story is because it's going to have an ending that's unusual or odd. Like my dad decided to steal a sewage pipe. So how would he steal that? He wore it. So he wore it. So it was a meter, it's a yard high, and it had a collar. And this was around, I don't know, 1940. The war started, and they expanded the factory, and there were sewage pipes everywhere. And they made, before cars, and in those days, they made lovely umbrella stands because they were beautifully polished and shiny. He thought, I'll see one. How can I see that? So he wore it. He stuck it under his arms, fitted into it. He was only 5'7", I think, and he squeezed into it. But it still came down to halfway down his shins. So he got somebody else's big gabardine coat over the top, and with his mates around him, walked past the security gate with his legs going 19 to the dozen. And it's more daft than theft. It wasn't stealing. Who wanted a flipping sewage pipe? And that was my dad. And he was a gag a line man. He always was. When we went through a station and going up to Blackpool, which we started to do every year towards the end of the war, and my mother would say, "What station is that?" And he'd go, "Cheltenham." And then 50 minutes later, "Oh, what station is that?" "Cheltenham." And what it was in those days. Every station, absolutely every station, have gents at the end of the platform and a big sign which said gentlemen. That's what he saw. And that was the joke. He knew a joke. And when we were going approaching Blackpool in the train, you see the tower out of one window, and then 20 minutes later, you see it out of another window. And he said, "I know the fellow who drives the lorry." I said, "What lorry?" He said, "The lorry they put the tower on the back of. So it goes up and down the prom, so you see it out of the window, then out of that window." How else? And it's those lovely, lovely jokes. So they were Blackpool jokes. And Blackpool had its own jokes and its own humour. So I watched people like George Formby. I watched them perform and other comedians. I finished up doing a few seasons there myself many years later. And it was all part of the fun. And my father was full of fun. He should have been a comedian. He never got the breaks. He never got a decent break in his entire life, my dad. Never owned a car. But oh, he was funny. He was so funny.
Do you find, Johnny, that you've picked up that comedy from him? And in a way, you're performing for you and your dad.
Oh yeah, very much so. Oh, really, really, very much so. Almost, I can almost hear him over my shoulder, telling the one about, yes, really, it was, and he introduced me to comedy and introduced me to the comedians, and we had records of the comedians that he collected, very early ones. The records were so old, they didn't have a run-on track and a run-off track. That's how old they were. And they got given away in a total mistake, and it was very, very sad. I haven't got them anymore. So yeah, he loved comedy, and had he ever had a chance, he would have been a great comic. But that's where I got it from. And I see, so when I was two, I decided to be a drummer. When I was playing with knitting needles, already playing with knitting needles. And at 11, I decided to be a comic. And at 16, when I failed English language and English literature and history, I said to my teacher, "But sir, I want to be a writer." He said, "Well, you just failed English language and English literature, you've no chance." Ha 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 ha. So I became a drummer at 16. I became a comic at 24. I turned pro at 24, 21, 22. 22 when I started as a comic, and then 24 when I turned pro. But writer, the first serious program I wrote, actual television program I wrote, I was 39. So that's why my biography has to come late, because I actually left a lot of it late, And then I wrote 20 series of television programs and presented them and had a wonderful time. And people say, "But you're only in children's." Yes, they wouldn't let me into adults. I wasn't Oxbridge, I didn't have an education. They wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me do the Christmas lectures from the Royal Institution, when both the president of the Royal Institution and the president of the Royal Society said, "Get Johnny Ball, he'd be perfect." And they said, "But he hasn't got a degree." Well, I've got seven honorary degrees now, so to them. So the lovely thing about being in children's is my bosses didn't get in the way, and when I did things for adult television, they always got it. People always got in the way, and people with not no talent, but different talent than me, that didn't dovetail with me, trying me, "Oh, go this way, do that," and none of it worked. So there you
How
are.
does it feel to you, Johnny, when you look back at that time, particularly you did on television, and I know the book number one is leading into that period when you were on television, that you are looked upon with such fondness and people do describe you as the nation's maths teacher? I mean, that must be quite a tribute to you.
It's unbelievable. I got two O levels when I was 16. But then when they looked at it, I got geography, but I'd also got maths. And then they saw that I'd got 100% in maths, but I was in the bottom set. I'd gone at that school, I'd gone Form 2B first year, 3C, 4D, lower 5E, and lastly 5E because they didn't have a 5F. And I was in the bottom set. And then they realized I got 100% in maths. And they said, "It's clear you've got some kind of mathematical brain, and I have, but it's not so much that. It's my dad surrounded me with my encyclopedias, and I read encyclopedias as a kid, so I'm not scared of delving into any subject. Nothing worries me. Nothing feels off limits. "Oh, I don't know anything about that. I've never done that." There's no such thing. So when I wrote my programs, as I say, 20 series I wrote. they were all from an encyclopedia, and they were all spurred on by a guy who was very intelligent himself, and he said, "You should be doing maths and science. Funny as you are, comedy." He didn't say he was a rubbish comic, but he said, "Well, you should be doing maths and science." So I said, "I'd do a program on maths," and I'd read a guy called Martin Gardner, who wrote for the Scientific American magazine, which is a monthly magazine, and because it's a monthly magazine, they take a month to write the pieces. And they're very strong and very valuable. So they taught me so much more than other people. So I learned from him. Matthew Gardner was the guru, the center of all recreational maths in the world, you know. And when he retired, the distribution of Scientific American dropped by 40%, almost a half, because just because he wasn't there. And I'd learned from him. And I know a lot of mathematicians today who learned from him. But I, having my comedy training, learned how to turn his ideas into humor and into fun and into program. So it's all a lucky, it's, life is such a lucky path, you know. And I'm lucky, but that's why I've written the book, because for all the good things that have happened, there are two bad things that have happened, you know. And if you read my book, you see the tragedies, you know, terrible tragedies. I once fell on I was vaulting off a wall. I was 12. I was vaulting off a wall over a bush, like a little rubber bush, about 18 inches high. And somebody had actually sharpened the point with a knife. And I jumped over it, and we're all jumping over it, no problem. But after a lot of people jumping over it, the ground was a bit muddy. And when my feet landed, my feet shot forward by 2 inches. And I was unbalanced and I fell. Now, that point would have made a hole in me had it not found the hole that was already there. And it sounds very funny, but I was impaled and my mates dragged me off. And when the doctor saw me a few hours later and a few days later, they said, "You know, you're talking about less than a quarter of an inch between you and death." And that I survived that when I was 12, you know. And so there's for every plus thing, there's a negative, really. But that's the joy of life. And if you're going to enjoy life, you've got to take those along with you. You've got to take your failings along with you. And that's what I do. And that's what I write. And it's my comedy training that helps me to write. Because I can't write a dead line. It's got to have a fun in it, you know. And that's why. So are you enjoying it? Have you enjoyed the book?
It's a wonderful book, and I'm very much looking forward to number two. And Johnny, will you come back on?
I will, with pleasure, with pleasure. And start the other. I can do other stories. What stories would I do with the second one? I could do the story, which is in the second one, about the day the Duke of Edinburgh suggested wife swapping. That is a true story, and it's in the second book. And don't worry, royalists, I do no damage to the royalty and everything, but it's a totally true story. Not only that, in the book, there are actual pictures of the moment it happened when he said, looked at my wife and said, "Well, in that case, I'm having her." And he was off with my wife out the room. That's in the second book.
We so much look forward to that. But for the moment, Johnny, your book is called My Previous Life in Comedy. It's available, I'm guessing, from all the normal retailers online
All the
and on the
retailers.
high street.
Yeah, you won't find any lying in the high street, you know. I mean, you can look in the gutters, but you won't find. You will after people have read it, you know, throw it over the shoulder, and that's the end of that. No, people have been lovely about it. People really have been absolutely so warm about it. And the second one, there'll be a few minor eruptions with the second one, with a few of the true stories that I have to tell.
And I would like to know whether you are going to publish the recipe for the Johnny Ball Christmas punch, or is that just going to your grave with you?
It's in both books, I think. It's definitely in the second book. It's definitely in the second book.
So, if nothing else, get the second book for that. But, Johnny, for now, your wonderful book, My Previous Life in Comedy. There's so much more than we can even touch the surface of on our chat today. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been, as usual, a joy.
It's been a thrill, absolute thrill. Thanks ever so much for ruining my bank holiday. Why?
Anytime, any bank holiday.
See you again very soon.
Take
Take
care.
care.